Welcome to TJ Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming here live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan, finishing up a home game weekend with the World of Outlaws. We'll talk about a little later in the program, but first up, we get to kick things off with one of our favorite things to do, breaking news. Coming out of the Northwest, we've been following this story since August, and Caleb Hart from the Skagit Speedway is here to join us. And Caleb, some big changes in the Northwest for 2015.
Well, you know, TJ, there's many around here who said it would be a cold day in HE double hockey sticks before this would happen, but what do you know? It turns out that HE double hockey sticks is called, and they're reporting temperatures dropping. So ASCS National Tour, the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour, will be at Skagit Speedway in 2015, and they will be here for our banner event. It is the 44th annual Dirt Cup. Will be a 3-day ASCS National Show in 2015.
And for those that don't know the political landscape of the Northwest, to put this in layman's terms, this seemed unfathomable even a year ago.
You know, from the time I came over here, TJ, and that was 2005, the word, just the four letters ASCS were kind of a curse word up in Skagit County. You didn't say ASCS at the track. It was a non-issue. It was a non-starter, in fact. It was, at the time, Steve and Fred Brownfield, who was the kind of the ASCS champion up here in the Northwest, were not getting along. And so one was a supporter and the other took the other side of the fence. And here we are 10 years later, and not only are they coming, but the biggest race on our schedule is going to be an ASCS National Tour event. And it's going to be big. You know, you and I talked, what was it, early July? Was it right after Dirt Cup this year?
Correct.
About what to do with Dirt Cup in 2015, and then one of the options that we talked about at the time was to make it a high paying 360 race on the same weekend, and not only is it going to stay a high paying 360 race, but you're guaranteeing that the best traveling 360 drivers in the country are going to be there by putting the ASCS sanction on it.
And this, and also Grace Harbor's getting a race as well out of this. The National Tour is going back to Grace Harbor as well.
Oh yeah, and that's, you know, the extra cool thing about that is that not only are they coming back, they're also running for $5,000 to win, which is more money than they normally run for, and it's going to be called the Fred Brownfield Classic, which is something that's been very important to the Grace Harbor community. You know, their event had lost that title for a little while, and now I'm assuming with blessings from those in the know, that title has come back on it, and that's a very important race for us in the Northwest, a name for us in the Northwest. You know, we don't have a lot of memorials, classics, tribute races, so having a Fred Brownfield Memorial, a Fred Brownfield Classic is an important thing for the racers, and especially the community and those around Grace Harbor Raceway.
And so now, at this point, were the Skagit 360s this past year an ASCS class, or were they the more traditional West Coast 360 rules this past year?
Kind of a hybrid of those in between. Most of our guys, and I say most of our guys, have ASCS legal engines. That's, you know, so if they wanted to go run our ASCS Northwest Series, they can go do it. However, it is not mandated in our rules to have it. It's either you run the ASCS heads or you run, I think it's some kind of gasket and restrictor to restrict horsepower. So it's definitely not the traditional open West Coast 360 rules. It is more of a limited or ASCS rule for our division. And by doing this, you're not going to, our guys are going to come out and support this show, and it's going to be, should be, one of the biggest car counts of the year for the national tour anywhere. And add on top of this, TJ, and something that I just thought of, there aren't a lot of racetracks that get a National Tour race and World of Outlaws in the same season.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was looking at. I was really hard-pressed outside of Knoxville, if you can consider that really a...
Knoxville, I don't remember if California gets any of them or not.
No.
Maybe one or two of the places in the Midwest, but really, Knoxville and Skagit are the premier ones that I'm thinking of right up off the top of my head.
Not only that, but usually when you see an Outlaw show and an ASCS show at the same facility, they don't have the same promoter. So
that's the other aspect of this, too. A big part of that, too, is you've got different guys coming in to promote 410 races nowadays. I think of, is it SLS Promotions that's out in you guys' neck of the woods?
Correct, yes.
In and there around. But, one promoter, two racetracks, both racetracks, Skagit and Grace Harbor, will both have the National Tour and the World of Outlaws in 2015, and that's going to be a big deal.
That's a huge deal. Now, at this point, does this open the door, do you think, for maybe the ASCS Northwest region to have events at Skagit?
I think it's got to be at least a conversation starter. If they're willing to bring in the sanction, if he's willing to bring in the national sanction, the Northwest sanction has got to at least be on the table. Now, I say that on the table, I'm not sure if it's a guarantee. And the reason I say it's not a guarantee is most of the drivers... most of who run the ASCS Northwest series also compete at some point in time during the season at Skagit Speedway and at Grays Harbor Raceway. So by paying the sanctioning body for a regional race, what are you gaining other than the name? You're going to hand them X amount of money to bring their series in, right? And you're going to have to put many extra people in the seats of your racetrack to cover that cost to get how many cars that you don't see on a regular basis. And there's only a few. There's only, off the top of my head, three or four guys who run the ASCS Northwest Tour who don't come up to Skagit or Grays Harbor at least once or twice during the year. So I don't know fiscally if that makes sense to do, but we'll see what's in the cards.
Well, Caleb, I appreciate you taking time out to join us with this breaking news out of the Northwest. You're always a guy we can go, our go-to guy in the Northwest, and some big news, and I'm sure we'll see probably some more news develop out of this throughout the off season.
Well, you know, it's just the start of silly season around here, and that's one way to start it off with a bang, that's for sure.
Well, it sounds like, though, overall that Northwest fans are going to get a great dirt cup in 2015.
You know what? I think you just the thing that just got guaranteed is that you're going to have some names here for Dirt Cup. So if you haven't made your travel plans already, you're going to get a chance to see the stars and cars of the Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour in 2015 at Skagit Speedway for Dirt Cup.
All right. Thank you, Caleb. Appreciate it.
Thanks, TJ.
All right. That's Caleb Hart joining us from the Northwest to talk about the big news. The American Sprint Car Series National Tour will be your sanctioning body for the 2015 Dirt Cup at Skagit Speedway. Dates announced June 25th, 26th, and 27th of 2015. And in addition to that, Friday, July 3rd and Saturday, July 4th, that will be the Fred Brownfield Classic at Grays Harbor Raceway. So a mixed batch of news there a bit with that. The Dirt Cup gets strengthened a little bit. Definitely not a shot in the arm for 410 racing in the Northwest. That's probably, but at this point, could you see the Dirt Cup come like a Canadian Nationals type event on a scale regionally? We're going to have to wait and see. So some breaking news out of the Northwest there. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tate Martz, your 2014 midget car champion at the Montpelier Speedway. So we're going to wrap up with him, Mike Strievel, a little later in the show, and we're going to wrap up Berlin here on TJ Slideways Live.
You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Must-See Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Coming back from commercial break, we just heard about the big news up in the Northwest, and we're going to shift focus now to the Midwest, where our next guest won a track championship officially on Saturday night. And I joked with him off the air. He's been on my potential greatness list for a long time. This guy's a good race car driver. He's also a good person, a real down-to-earth guy, and we're glad to have Tate Martz on the line, your 2014 Montpelier Speedway Midget Champion. Tate, thanks, first of all, taking time out to join us tonight. I know you're a busy guy. Let's talk about first how things came together, the car you drive and everything. How did your ride come together to run at Montpelier this year?
Well, it's actually funny. We're teamed up, which we have been off and on for several years. We ran the Focus Midgets with Greg Steele, and my dad and I and Greg have, been teamed up and worked together, work really well together. So, Greg's always been a pavement guy, and, dad and I, have always, I guess, taken more to the dirt, and we ran a pavement midget teamed up with Greg until a couple of years ago. And then we finally talked Greg into putting his motor into a dirt midget and going racing. So it was, kind of just a work in progress. We're really glad to get the okay to do that because we've had a lot of fun with the dirt stuff.
And this Montpelier program in particular is really geared towards someone like you. You're a guy who has a regular job during the week, a hobby racer, if you will, and you have close connections to the midget division, and they found a niche, it seems like, at Montpelier. Do you think you would be racing as often if it wasn't for a program like Montpelier's?
No, it's really a... been a blessing for us. We ran off and on last year. I got the chance to run my first Montpelier race. Don Moore gave me a call and asked me to run his car a couple years ago. And you could see right away that here's a, great opportunity for, your low buck and like you say, guys with regular jobs and to go midget racing and I just can't say enough about what Montpelier's done to put that program together and that they've stuck with it. I'm sure there've been some tough times with it. The car counts haven't always been where they wanted, I'm sure, but it showed, there's several people who support it week in and week out. And I think you'll see it continue to grow over the next few years.
Did you have the same skepticism at first when you first looked at and heard they were going to do that?
I don't know. We were running the TQs more, and then we were running pavement back when they started. I want to say... I don't know if they started the series 3 or 4 years ago, but it's always something that my dad and I have talked about. Gosh, if one of these local dirt tracks would start up a midget series and run them, and they don't run weekly, but regularly, that it would be something great for local guys. And it has been. We made it our goal this year to win the championship, and we're fortunate enough to be able to make that happen. So, I don't know. It always surprises me with the amount of midgets they get at the Chili Bowl, where they all go and hide in the summertime. But I think more and more of them are starting to come out. So.
And that's good news for them. How do you think the reception's been at Montpelier to the midget teams?
Really good. The track, they seem to, really promote the racing and the people there. They work hard to have a good racetrack week in and week out. That's something that a lot of tracks... You get what you get, I guess. And they're constantly, they're working through the night. I think that, Montpelier, just to me is a place that a track that you're going to see grow in the next few years because of the people behind it and because of the quality of show they put out there. I know they've had some sprint car shows this year that went really well with the Ball Series. I believe they had the All-Star Circuit of Champions too. So they're on their way up for sure.
Now, at one point during the year, did it finally click with you where you went, man, this is probably going to happen. This looks like this championship could happen for us. Was there any key moment or one point in the season where it seemed like it was closer in grasp than maybe the rest of the time?
Yeah, it's been kind of a frustrating year as far as weather goes. And I know they had some work that they were doing on the track at the beginning of the year, and the weather really put them behind on that. So we only had five points races. So, you know, a lot of, you know, that we were lucky to, we only had a DNF in the last race. But, you know, really, the fourth race of the series, the next last race, we just ran really well, and we ran second to Davey Ray. You know, we were really frustrated because we, you know, we wanted to get to victory lane so bad, and we didn't quite get that done. We had 3 second place finishes, but we just, you know, my goal, obviously, you know, when you have a chance to win a championship, I'm, you know, you're always geared toward that. But my goal as a midget driver is, you know, to be able to compete with guys like Davey Ray and guys that are on the national level, and I guess to gain respect of those guys, you know, whether it be at Montpelier or, you know, a USAC show somewhere. So,
Tate March joining us. Well, are you done for the year now, or are we going to see you venture out to any other of maybe a light season show somewhere before the year ends?
That's kind of up in the air. We had plans to go this weekend to the Gold Crown race and really want to make that happen. I'm actually waiting to hear from my dad. We took the car all apart yesterday because we had problems the other night, and we think that the U-joint may have broke, which would probably put us out for the Gold Crown. I don't know in October if we'll later on in October there's a race at Montpelier that we'd like to go to, possibility, and there's also a Kokomo Clash that we may show up at. So still a couple opportunities out there for us.
Well, Tate, I'm sure you have some people you'd like to thank for your championship run as well.
Yeah, definitely. Dwayne and Sony Alexander are our biggest supporters. They're at the racetrack with us and supporting us nearly every week. And we couldn't do it without them. And then Beast Race Cars, Bob East has put not only on the midget side, but on the TQ side, has built a couple of stout cars that help us run up front. So can't do it without those people. And then, you know, my dad, I know that he's been around midgets for forever now, and I can't say enough about, you know, what he's done to help me. I know, you know, we've been through some, a lot of ups and downs, and he just keeps on ticking. I've learned a lot from him about never giving up and sticking with things. So, and Greg as well, Greg Steele, works really hard to give us good equipment to go race with.
Well, Tate, congratulations. It was great to see you get that championship, and hopefully we get to see you finish out the year, and fingers crossed it isn't that U-joint, so you can go have fun over at Granite City this weekend.
Yeah, we'd like to, so hopefully we'll get some good news there and we can make a trip.
All right, thank you, Tate.
I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, no problem, man. Anytime, because hopefully we'll get to talk to you again, because that means you're winning some more races and championships.
Right. Yeah, hope to be back.
All right, Tate March, everybody. Thanks. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the weekend at Berlin. This is TJ Slideways Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
Live on racesontheweb.com.
Back here on another edition here from the Engine Pro Studios. And this past weekend, we got to do something incredibly awesome, courtesy of the Berlin Raceway. We got to go racing close to the studio, approximately 15 minutes from the studio with the Sprints on Dirt, the Engine Pro Sprints on Dirt, presented by ARP and the World of Outlaws STP Sprint Car Series. And my next guest was running the show on Friday night, and then pretty much got drug into working on Saturday, too. Mike Strievel joining us on the line. And, Mike, you were there both days, as was I. And I think it was quite a weekend for Michigan sprint car racing at Berlin.
It really was, TJ. It was very enjoyable to see that. You know, we've been World Outlaw fans for a long time. And so getting there Saturday and seeing it at the old home stomping ground, so to speak, was awesome. And, of course, our show there Friday for the second year in a row, having a race at Berlin on the dirt, was good as well. And I think if Dustin Daggett had his wishes, we'd be racing there every other week or so, I'm sure, on the dirt. So it was a very good weekend all the way around. Yeah, I ended up getting roped into helping a little bit Saturday night with a gang that I know that at work at the track. So it was a very good weekend. And, yeah, I love the short commute to the track, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And how about the quick commute home with a 6:30 start both nights? I don't remember what time Friday night ended, but I know we were done at 9:20-something and some change on Saturday night. And it was pretty incredible to see the crowd coming out of the pits afterwards because it was so early.
Yeah, it was. And that Friday night was like 10 after 10. And the best thing was when I got there Saturday, I wasn't sure because on Friday night there were still rumblings. They were talking about parking the World of Outlaw rigs inside the infield. People aren't familiar with Berlin. They pit inside the oval. Well, as you know, as big as the rigs are with the World Outlaw traveling guys there, it pretty much would have blocked a good tremendous amount of the backstretch from view from a lot of the grandstands. So they made that situation all better with that outside pit area. And the fans got to rumble around and deal and get it over there and check that out after the races, like you say, because they were done so early. So it was a win-win all the way around. And I think it's probably going to be a no-brainer that they'll be back there next year. I haven't talked to, obviously, the Pursley or anybody, the Outlaws, of course, but to me, that would make total sense. They'd be doing it again. You sure would think so.
And I think having Sada on Friday night definitely helped boost the car count on Saturday as well. I mean, for some of those teams to have 2 days of racing like that, especially a good paying show, $5,000 to win going in Dustin Daggett's pocket for the second year in a row.
Oh yeah, and he made over two on Saturday, so it totally worked out. When we're all up decided they wanted to come up to Grand Rapids, we basically, the Sprint on Dirt Series got bumped off of Saturday, and Mike Bursley and I negotiated a different date, and he came up with the idea of doing Friday, which was a benefit all the way around. The crowd might have been a little bit smaller on our show on Friday than it would have been otherwise, but I understand that with the King and everybody coming to town on Saturday. But it was a good thing in a way that we were there Friday, because as you said, you look at Saturday in that 24-car field, I'm really proud of my boys, Ryan Rule and Dustin Daggett, making the draw for the Dash and coming together with everybody else that stuck around and got to run for some better money, like Ride an Hour and Jay Steinbeck and such. So overall, was a good tie-in to have the 2 days together, definitely.
Yeah, and I thought, also, I don't think you have to be ashamed of the crowd that was there on Friday night. It was still a good crowd, and you're up against high school football, Art
Prize.
Fridays
in September are tough, and obviously they seat 8,000 people, and the way it looks, still, I don't know for sure. I'm guessing there's still 3,000 people there, which every other racetrack in the country would pretty much kill for, pretty much. So, yeah, it was a good overall weekend all the way around.
And I think any racetrack in the country would definitely kill for the crowd they had on Saturday. I was just floored. I looked at that and I thought, that's an MIS grandstand that used to be at Michigan International Speedway that's full, that probably wasn't full when it was at MIS.
Yeah, it was pretty darn impressive. Really excited how it all went, and that was this, and obviously you got a lot of new people involved and interested in the sport, and hopefully that makes them decide to want to go out somewhere else and try and watch some sprint car show at another place other than Berlin. So definitely a benefit to the sport all the way around. So it's definitely a very successful weekend, that's for certain.
Another neat aspect of Saturday was your two title contenders with the sprints on dirt were showcased on Saturday night with Dustin Daggett sitting atop qualifying there for quite a while and sniffing around the top five before falling back a little bit later in the feature. And then Ryan Rule winning his heat race. They both end up in the Dash. I mean, and those are your two guys going neck and neck this week for the season finale at Plymouth Speedway, where, man, it's one of the tightest point battles we've seen in probably 10, 15 years in sprints on dirt.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting to see Saturday. Dustin ended up third fastest. Ryan Rule winning a heat race in dominant fashion. He was every bit as fast in his heat race as Steve Kinzer was in his, and that was pretty neat to see. And meanwhile, they've got the cars of the 410s. And by the way, they've got, as you said, one of the closest points battles in history. Dustin won Friday night at Berlin, obviously, as we said. Ryan finished third. Dustin gained 15 points on Ryan, so the 27-point lead is now 12. Going into Plymouth this Saturday. So, yes, I do remember you telling me the trivia question answered the year that there was a tie. I think it was a Steve Irwin and Dane tie.
You got one of the names right. Sean Robinson and Dane tie.
Okay, that's what it was.
For the championship.
I guess mathematically that could potentially happen just right. But either way, it's going to be a fun race to announce and talk about and see the whole thing going on here. And pretty much that's been the way it's been all year long since April. It's been Ryan and Dustin back and forth and back and forth. Dustin led the points for a while, and Ryan took it over, and then Dustin got back close. And here we are to make even Plymouth even that much more exciting for the finale. And one thing I want to let everybody know, I was just talking with the race director at Plymouth, Keith Beeching, and this is all part of their big World Series of Racing weekend. And legitimately Saturday, the pits open up at 2 p.m. We're hot lapping at 5 and we're racing at 6 because they've got 4 or 5 divisions of racing down there. So it's kind of a mini version of a dealer's choice is what I'm kind of getting at. So hint, hint, everybody, get there early to get a pit spot and get in line for the pits. There are races going on Friday that may help get some of that crowd into the infield in a pit area there at that Plymouth. But we're going to be part of that. First time they wanted to try the season championship down there. So we're looking forward to that. And I've already been getting calls from 360 drivers from Wisconsin and Illinois. There's basically not much else in the 360 sprint car world going on this Saturday. So I think we're going to get a few visitors coming into Plymouth Saturday night.
Well, that's always a good thing to have for a season. And that's one of the cool things about late season races. Is you'll see some different faces, seem to pop in here and there. I mean, we had that kid from New York show up on Friday night, and then I wasn't expecting Christopher Bell necessarily on Saturday either, and he bopped in there. So it sounds like some more surprises this Saturday at Plymouth.
Absolutely. That's what's kind of neat about it. And obviously a lot of other tracks. I know Butler's done for the year, and a few of the 360 guys that run at Butler are looking at heading down. Obviously some of the NRA guys will cruise on over from the Lima area and wherever they're from in Mid-Ohio area. So it's going to make for a tremendous field, and that's one thing we're excited about. And the knock on wood, the weather's looking like it's going to cooperate so far here early in the week. But we're looking forward to the grand finale to settle this championship, and I couldn't ask for any more drama than that. And obviously, Ryan's trying to win his first ever championship, and Dustin's trying to break that tie that he's got with Gary and Fiedel and Aglauer, four championships apiece. So Dustin's trying to get his fifth. So we'll settle that all on Saturday night at Plymouth.
So somebody's going to get there first, or Dustin's going to get one for the thumb. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes down. And are there banquet tickets still available if people want to go? Because your banquet's a lot of fun. I mean, that's one
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. We are, we're going to be, we'll have them available at the racetrack. Friday night at Berlin was pretty doggone hectic, so we didn't get a chance really to pedal many of them, but that we do have them. We have a new, we're having it at a new location in Kalamazoo to 131 Stadium Drive, it's at the Holiday Inn. Thank you. I couldn't remember for a second. But either way, we'll be down at Plymouth with the banquet tickets available. Else on the website, you'll see the address and contact info. We'll have to get a hold of me to grab some. But you're right, it's a good time. It's Saturday, November the 8th. So basically, it's get through the race, see who the champ's going to be, and then work on that fun little activity and get ready for that. And we look forward to that to wrap up 2014.
Well, Mike, thanks for taking a moment to come on. It was fun to have you over at Berlin, and best of luck with your season finale coming up on Saturday.
You bet. Hope to see everybody down there. Thanks, Bob.
You're listening to TJ Slidewind Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
Listening to TJ Slideways Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Closing out the show tonight with your feature winner Sunday at the Sandusky Speedway and your champion this year with the Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Super Sprints, Jason Blond, joining us on the line. And Jason, this is starting to get old hat, man. Another feature win, another championship. Just another day in the Blond household. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Does it ever become routine, or is it still just as much fun as when you first started running up front and winning at Butler?
No, it never comes routine at all, especially, you know, the last couple of years. This is my first Auto Value win this year, and last year I never got one, so I won in the Haas Series last year, but, you know, we did end up winning the championship, you know, this year and last. But, yeah, it never gets old, and it's getting tougher and tougher to win every year, it seems like.
Let's talk through the race on Sandusky. I saw some pictures of the start of the race, so you weren't anywhere near the front. How did you manage to get there?
They started second row outside, and then just a couple guys got a little tight in front of me and able to get underneath them, and going down the backstretch, I was able to take the lead and kind of just never looked back. And the car was pretty good first half of the race. Towards the second half, it started getting a little looser off, and I was just waiting for, you know, JoJo or Pierce or somebody to just go by me, but I was able to hold them off.
And another championship, and this one had to be special. I mean, this year's been kind of a crazy year at times with everything, and like you said, he did manage to get a win with this one. And how many Auto Value championships does it make at this point for you?
It would be 6 on the pavement and then 1 on the dirt.
Wow, that's unbelievable. So 7 championships for Jason Blond. And, you know, at this point, what do you have planned for the rest of the year? We're talking off the air a little bit. Are you guys going to do this California swing, do you think, or are you guys done for the year?
Oh, it's kind of in the works. We're trying to get all the fine details worked out about it. You know, Davey Hamilton offered us a truck and a driver to actually haul our trailer out to California. Maybe if we can get a couple guys in our trailer with us and help, you know, pay for some expenses, and that'd work out pretty cool. So hopefully that's kind of in the works, and maybe we'll get to get out there.
And what do you think about that? This type of racing, that they haven't had a bunch of winged racing. They've done a little bit of it at Madera on the blacktop and a little bit of 360 stuff here and there. But what do you think about taking these cars out to the West Coast?
Well, I think it's pretty cool, really. I mean, you know, for us definitely to see some different tracks. And, you know, they say they're pretty nice, big, fast tracks, and that's what I definitely like. And a lot of them guys out there actually have 360s in their cars, and we're going to put restrictors in our injections, so to kind of tone it down a little bit, you know, take a little horsepower away, and 100 horsepower away from us, kind of equal us out a little bit. So, you know, hopefully it'd be some pretty good racing.
Do you think that program with the restrictors and the 360s and stuff such has a chance? I know there's some talk of doing that a little bit here, and there was some testing done here in the Midwest. Do you see that maybe coming to pavement sprint car racing in the next year?
It's possible. I mean, this will be a true test. I mean, when the King of the Wings was here earlier, we didn't have no 360 guys to kind of compare, you know, to see if it's going to be competitive or not for them guys running against us. But, I mean, I'll tell you what, a lot of times this year, I mean, we ran them restrictors at these little short tracks around here on the pavement, and just to get the car, you know, locked in, it took the horsepower away, and I was able to just mat it coming off the corners. So like Angola Speedway and 40 Speedway, I mean, I had the restrictors in quite a bit.
Jason Blond joining us on the line. And you managed to get some dirt racing in the first part of this year as well. How good did it feel to get back on the dirt? At times, you were pretty sporty.
Yeah, I felt really good. I mean, it's kind of weird. You know, you race pavement for so long, and then you try to go back to dirt, and it just feels so awkward. I mean, everything about it just feels weird about it, you know. So it takes you a couple races to get back in the mode. And, you know, yeah, but must have been up there. Tri-City Speedway, it got pretty sporty up there a couple times, and Hartford felt pretty good. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we can keep that going. I end up blowing it up at Hartford, so that kind of finished us off for the year. But thanks to Tracy Race, you know, he gave me a shot to get back in the dirt.
It was good having you out there, too. Do you think that it makes you a better sprint car driver on the pavement when you get a few dirt races in?
It definitely does. I mean, that's why I was wanting to do it more often. You just, that way you don't care what your car is doing. You can just go out and just race as hard as you can race it. Because on pavement, you start scooching your tire a little bit. And in the back of your mind is, I'm going to burn my tire off, you know. So you start, you know, in the save mode. Where, you know, it's only 30 laps. So you just got to go all out and just go for it, you know. If it burns off, it burns off. So it definitely helps you be a lot more, whatever you want to call it.
So Jason Bond joining us here on the line, your 2014 Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Super Sprint Champion. So with all these championships and all these wins under your belt, what do you think's next? How much longer do you foresee yourself doing this? What do you want to do next? Or are you content with this mix of a little bit of dirt and the solid pavement schedule you've been doing?
Yep, definitely, content to what I'm doing, as long as I got a ride, I'm going to keep racing and definitely not going to go on my own again. I know that for sure. But definitely make the wife mad if I did that. But, as long as I got a ride, I keep doing it. And if Tony keeps going, I'm going to be right there with him and we'll go from there and see what happens.
Well, Jason, I'm sure you have some people to thank for this championship as well.
Yeah, definitely. Butch has been sick these past couple of years. So, that was really special to get the win and the championship, that was pretty sweet. So yeah, Dowker Engines, Sweet Manufacturing, Driven Racing Oils, Bingham Farms, Steel Race Products, of course, Butch Dowker, Tony Noble, Bob Montgomery. And then, we teamed up with Marv Carman this year, so, gotta thank him and Kevin and all their crew, because that really helped out, splitting the costs for these big traveling deals, so.
Well, Jason, it's good to see you on that championship trophy again. It means you get to go to the Michigan Auto Racing Fans Club's banquet and do the whole rubber chicken circuit and sit at the head table. So it's not all a bad thing, and congratulations.
Hey, well, thanks a lot, and thanks for having me. And, still got to thank my wife for everything she does and my kids for letting me do this.
Oh, yeah. I got that slid in at the last minute because there have been a couple of guys that have come on here and forget to thank the family and the wife, and then they don't come on again.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that happens. So congratulations, Jason, and best of luck if you get to head to California.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. We're going to take another commercial break, and we're going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Glade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
Listening to TJ Slideways Live on racesontheweb.com.
Back here in the Engine Pro Studios, and I mentioned this past weekend we got to do some racing close to home, and I got to thank Tom Deary, all his staff with the World of Outlaws STP Sprint Car Series, and Lisa and everyone over at Berlin Raceway helped organize everything for us on the track side. Great hospitality, as always, that we get when we come home to Berlin. And it was phenomenal. And we get a lot of questions when we do the Berlin race, like, why don't they just leave it dirt? Well, first off, if they left it dirt, it wouldn't be special at the end of the year. I like what they're doing over there. They've really hit on something, and I think they need to keep going with it. And I think if the Saturday was any indication, it's going to keep on going. I think we'll see more World of Outlaw racing, almost positive. When I asked track officials that, well, we're probably going to see this next year, they looked at me like, really? You have to ask us that? there's probably 6,000 to 7,000 people here. Of course you're going to see this next year, and hopefully it continues to go forward. Another question we get asked is the clay there is amazing that they found. It's only 6 miles from the racetrack where they found it. There's no rocks, no sand in it, and it doesn't take rubber, but everyone's like, why don't they dig it up and water it and have a big cushion out? Well, if you saw what Mother Nature did to it during Canadian Nationals weekend, if you've seen the photos of late models with all four wheels off the ground from Berlin, that's probably why they don't water it a whole bunch. But the folks from Canandaigua Motorsports Park actually helped take care of that racetrack during the Dirt Series at Berlin. And it's nice and smooth. And as long as it doesn't lay rubber, it's racy. I mean, it's slick top to bottom, and it really evens out a lot of the big motors with the small motors. And the drivers come to the front in that sort of racetrack. It's rare that you can see a track get that slick and still race well and not lay rubber down to where it locks down in one groove, and they have it figured out. I think if they tried that in August or July when it's 90 degrees and 85 at night, more than likely it lays rubber at that point. But because it tops out at right around by 80 degrees and sunny both times the sprint cars have been there, and it's cool at night, it keeps it from laying that rubber down. And that surface doesn't get much wear and tear on it because it's only used a couple times a year. They pick it back up. And the good news is they've got more out back to replenish it with. There actually was quite a bit of the pile left compared, and they actually had it deeper than they did last year. So some good news all around there. So it looks like something that's going to continue. And have some leftover interviews. We're going to do a post-race podcast. But Saturday night, I have to preface this a little bit, was crazy. And we got an interview with second place. We didn't get the winner, and we didn't get third place. And we decided to let the race fans, with all thousands of them in the pit area, just let them mingle with the drivers. So we didn't get nice shots, but we talked to Bill Klingbeil. We are going to get shots at a later date, and we'll talk about the Berlin race. But we did have interviews with Friday night's contenders and then Darren Pittman coming up here. So first off, Kyle Sauter was your hard charger on Friday night with the sprints on dirt, coming out of the B main, scored a fifth place finish with CH Motorsports, who will be fielding a 360 sprint car team in 2015 with the NRA and Sod Sauter as the driver. And we talked to him after the race at Berlin.
Kyle Sauter, what a way to make lemonade out of lemons, man. Fifth place after coming through the B-Main.
It's haven't raced for ever, it seems like. Only ran about four times this year and got a little load over there in two and got squeezed, but that's racing, and caught a tire in a heat race and come back in the B-Main. My guys worked hard, got it put back together, and tried something totally off the wall with this new car that we haven't run too much. And I think with a yellow or two in there, I think we had a chance at them, but we'll take fifth and move on.
And this place is very unique. What did you think of getting around this very unusually shaped racetrack?
It took some getting used to. I mean, three and four, there's a couple different ways you can approach it, and the guy on the top, if he's got a run, is definitely at an advantage coming off of four, and that's where we where the car seemed to work the best, and so we picked up a lot of spots coming off of four, but one and two, finally, everybody's around the bottom. I just put up one at top, and we got about four or five cars there in the last two or three laps. So,
is that how you made up the most ground? Where do you think you made up the most ground on racetrack tonight?
Coming off of two, I think, was the biggest part. And, like I said, we just got into one real slow and kept it around the top, and there was a little bit of moisture coming off on the top. And so that's where we chose to run, and it paid off.
What's the plan going forward for the 83 team?
This year, we're just going to finish out with Waynesfield Eldora. Next year, still up in the air, but we're talking about doing like just a NRA Lima schedule, maybe some side shows. So nothing major. We're just racing out of a 24-foot trailer and having fun. So it's enjoyable.
Kyle Sauter, one of the biggest charges of the night.
It was impressive, to say the least. And Kyle, always pretty upbeat after a good run like that. Good to see him up here at Berlin. Jared Horseman was your second-place finisher on Friday night. Here's what Jared had to say about his second-place run.
Jared Horseman, second place finish tonight. Nice run here at Berlin Raceway.
Yeah, not bad. We redrew to start on the pole, and Dustin just had a little bit better race car than what we did. I mean, a big improvement this year from last year, and hopefully we're going to come back tomorrow and run with the Outlaws and see what happens.
How tricky is this place to get around with the unusual shaped racetrack?
It's got a big wide sweeping back stretch, and then it comes into almost a D-shaped on the front stretch, and it pinches you off quite a bit coming down the front, and you kind of got to drive the thing right next to the tires up off the corner of four and keep the car straight. So this place slicks off and makes a driver out of you. So it really shows when what the crew can do.
Were you excited to have that late race restart?
Well, I was, and I knew Daggett was pretty quick and good, but I thought there's some kind of chance here and a little bit of hope. So it was good, but I was just glad to keep whoever was behind me and finish where we did.
All right, Jared Horseman looking to compete with the Outlaws tomorrow after your second place finish.
And, of course, Horseman actually decided not to compete on Saturday due to not having proper mufflers. That's why you see some of the drivers maybe scored differently than where they necessarily finished on track from Saturday night. Anyway, they had non-conforming mufflers, mainly 360s that had that problem, were scored towards the tail end of the field on Saturday. Just a note about that. Here's your winner from Friday night, Dustin Daggett, talking about what advantage it might have given him towards Saturday. This is actually on Friday night. And about his win during Sprints on Dirt competition at Berlin Raceway.
Dustin Daggett, outstanding performance tonight here at Berlin Raceway. And, man, it seems like you've just got this place figured out.
Yeah, something about this place. The car just works really good here. We even got a different setup than what we had in last year. And I think the car was probably better tonight. I know Hannigan was catching me when I was running the top in one or two, but I'd noticed the lap before the caution came out. That Sauter pulled away from me coming out on the bottom pretty good. So the next lap, I was actually planning to go to the bottom in one and two, and then the caution come out, and it was a way better line. There was more grip on the bottom. The top just went away, and the car was a rocket.
And this place just looks like a riot to drive on the dirt. How much fun is this place to go around with the dirt sprint car?
Oh man, it's crazy because it doesn't have turn. Well, it's got turn one and two is pretty round, but turns three, four, and five is pretty exciting. So it's got a weird shape to it, but it's still a momentum racetrack. You just got to keep your speed up, keep the car straight, and keep it hooked up.
How much confidence does this give you going into tomorrow night?
Well, of course, winning is definitely a confidence booster, and I think we can run pretty decent with the Outlaws here. So the only advantage that I got is I've got 60 laps on top of the Outlaws.
Dustin Daggett hoping for a good finish after his win tonight at Berlin Raceway.
And, of course, Dustin did have a strong run on Saturday night. The locals did have a good showing relative to past performances, but they did really well at Berlin. It's a good track for them to fare against the Outlaws. Of course, Donnie Schatz, nobody faring well against him on Saturday, including our ability to get a hold of him. None of Donnie's fault. It was just the pace of the way everything went on Saturday night. But we did manage to corner Darren Pittman for a moment. I wanted an Outlaw impression of Berlin, and Darren gave Berlin Raceway nothing but high marks. So you'll talk. Here's Pittman about how trying to chase down Schatz and what he thought of Berlin Raceway.
Darren, nice job tonight. Just ran out of time to catch Schatz.
Well, I don't know. It might have been 100 laps. I'm not sure I could have caught him. But, yeah, I mean, the lap traffic really made it interesting. And I felt like an open track, you know, maybe he was a touch better, but not a lot. I mean, we could kind of hang with him. He just got through some of the lap cars a little better, and I thought I was getting through the first few pretty good and then really got held up, probably 10 to go by a couple that lost a lot of ground. But he got held up a few laps later, and we closed that gap back to about where we were at before we even got to lap traffic. So we probably had pretty equal cars. You know, his starting spot was obviously a little better, and that's, you know, he did his job in the dash and got those spots and earned them, and I just didn't do a good enough job to, you know, to improve our position in the dash. So all in all, solid weekend. I ran third last night, second tonight. Came off a really tough weekend last weekend, and we'll just take it and going to excited about next weekend. We've been close to winning the National Open a couple times now, and pretty pumped to go back and see if we can't try to contend for it. So we'll just look forward to that.
First trip to Berlin Raceway, what do you think?
It's awesome. Actually, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you never know what to expect coming to a new place. And we heard a lot of horror stories with the late models. It was rough. And then we heard it laid rubber last night, which we get here and we find out that wasn't even remotely true. But, man, it's cool because this place was slick. It was like ice. So it really put a lot of emphasis on your crew chiefs to give you a good car. And it was fun. So super slick. Didn't touch a tire all night. And, you know, there was a big speed difference between the good cars and the bad cars. And they're fun to race when they're like that.
All right, Darren, congratulations. Nice run.
Thanks.
And that was Darren Pittman, one of the nice guys in the sport. And we are going to get Schatz later in the year. We talked about Clint Bill's personal manager. He's out on the road today, but he will be joining us sometime in the near future. We'll ask him his thoughts on Berlin Raceway and such. And I'm sure we'll get Sweet on in the next couple of weeks as well, get his impression as well. But what a weekend. I mean, just everybody with the Outlaws in Berlin, it couldn't have gone better. Everything from when we walked in the gates on Friday to the absolutely raucous, fun party on Friday night, just walking around the grounds, the campfires and everything going, and then Saturday, the energy. It was just like, to me, like I went to one ASA race at Berlin, and that's what they're most known, revered for, known for, those big ASA late model races back in the 80s and 90s. And that was the same kind of atmosphere it was on Saturday. And Berlin's a very name-driven. They like their stars there. And you bring the stars of the World of Outlaws STP Sprint Car Series, that's as big as it gets in the sprint car world. And it was amazing to see that show at that place. It was so weird seeing Steve Kinser go down the front straightaway at Berlin. What is this? And if you've grown up around Michigan racing or whatnot, you know how strange that, just saying that sentence sounds. And since moving here to West Michigan, that's kind of like my adopted home track now. It's the closest one here from my home. If you saw the time lapse on the Facebook page, you saw literally how close it is. And we only get to go there a couple times a year to see sprint cars on the pavement normally. But now, the past couple of years, we have some dirt shows to go see, too. And we still go see our pavement guys there, but we also see the dirt. And it's the best of both worlds for us. And having the World of Outlaws is just the icing on the cake with that deal. Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. We'll be back here again on Monday night for your listening pleasure. And hope you have a great week. Get out to the racetrack if you have a chance. And next week, we're going to preview the harvest of sprints, and we'll probably talk to your SOD sprint car champion and also the Sprintacular. We're going to preview that show, what I thought was the best show in 2014 last year of any race I went to. We're going to talk about, see if, or 2013, we're going to see if the 2014 edition can live up to the high expectations of the previous year. So thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.